WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up.
It's 9:02 p.m. here at WBAI in New York, 99.5 on your FM dial. Stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show.
Hi, this is Joe King, and welcome to the late-starting Personal Computer Show, the last 2 hours. I hope you've been listening to them, because I certainly was when Manuel Goldstein, 2600 crew, were interviewing and talking with, I shouldn't say interviewing, Kevin Mitnick, whose new book, The Art of Deception, has just come out. And Kevin's going to be back. He's communing with nature at the moment, but he'll be back in the studio very shortly, and we'll continue the discussion with some things that are of more interest to us than to the 2600 community, and I hope that you will join in on that. We're going to be taking phone calls not on the air initially. We're going to get started by taking phone calls to make a pledge to keep this station on the air. And you get that by calling 212-209-2950, 2950. And hopefully you'll have a piece of plastic with the name of MasterCard or Visa or American Express or one of those wonderful companies so that you can make your pledge using the plastic and we can get the use of the money right away. This is an expensive operation. WBAI may be free radio, but it is not free to bring you this radio. We've got to pay the people at the Empire State Building and Con Edison and the phone company. What phone company are we using? It's not NeoTel, but whatever one it is. We even have to pay people to run the switchboards. But you know what we don't have to pay? We don't have to pay Hank or myself or Dave. We don't have to pay Michael to be a webmaster. We don't have to pay Emmanuel Goldstein, Eric Carley. We don't have to pay any of those folks. They do it free. So what we do have to pay is all the other... You know, tapes are expensive. CDs are cost money. Long-distance phone calls. I make a whole bunch of phone calls every week. I don't charge the station, and the station doesn't pay me.
I'll tell you how to solve that problem, incidentally. That's when we get a chance to talk about SIP phones over the Internet and how you can drive the cost of telephony all the way down, and I'm doing it every day.
Yeah, but that's only part of the course, because I know that with some of the new technology that was just announced, the fact that digital radio is going to be a thing of reality probably by next year, the transmitter cost on that is, what, $75,000?
Well, it's interesting.
Well, Hank, before
Jamie
we
and I were talking
that,
all that
before
FCC.
We get into that, I do want to just introduce everybody who's going to be on the air for the next couple of hours. We are going to be here until 11 p.m., I'm told. And in addition to Kevin Mitnick coming back and joining us for the next hour or so, down at Perkins EPA, our yachtsman of the month, Alfred Poor, is going to be with us. Alfred, are you there?
I'm here.
And over in the corner is our webmaster of the century, the inimitable...
You see,
Alfred, you lost inimitable.
Well, he deserves it more than I do.
It's now the inimitable Michael Horowitz.
Good evening.
And Michael, if you don't know him, go to pcradioshow.org and meet him. Dave Burstein, on his way over to England, is joined us here in the studio, and off in a corner is his significant other.
Well, off in the corner is the former WBAI news host, the professor, the author of another book from Wiley, who treated us almost as badly as they treated Kevin, but we'll get that
In case Dave has forgotten, her name is Jenny Bourne, and on my left, isn't that a change? He's usually on my right, but on my left is Hank Key. Sean Rose is at the board, and we will be carrying on in just a moment. I do want Hank to tell you some of the things that he's put together to try and stimulate you into supporting this station. Hank?
Well, just a couple of things very quickly. We do have the Tyler people back there. Just remember the numbers 212-209-2950. We do have very large expenses. We, on the air, in fact, I would say the majority of producers here, we get El Zippo. In other words, we make no money at all. We come in of our own free time, but we have to pay a whole lot of bills. So some of the premiums we have is Michael, who is our webmaster, is going to be teaching a course at WBAI, and it's set up for November the 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. So it's a two-hour seminar that he's going to run, and it's a $55 premium on everything you want to know about backup and recovery. Michael, you want to tell them a little more about it?
Yes. Thank you very much, Hank. It's going to be about backing up the files on your computer. There are, of course, your important files, your word processing documents, your Excel spreadsheets. But in addition, there are a lot of Windows system critical files. And we're going to discuss three software products for backing those up. And there are a lot of people who call this show who say, you know, my computer used to work, and then something happened, and now I just can't get back to a working state. Backing up system files for Windows is an excellent way to do it. We'll talk about some products to do that. Of course, we talk about assorted software for backing up your files, free software.
By the way, Michael, I hope you include one more remedy that I always tell people. Give it a good swift kick.
Okay.
Kevin, are you allowed to do that under the terms of your probation? I know you can't use a computer. Can you kick them?
I'm actually allowed to use computers. I just can't use the Internet. So I actually have a Sony Vaio that's running Windows XP Pro.
How often does it crash?
Actually, it hadn't crashed yet. When I was running Windows 2000, it did. But during my experience with computers prior to most recent times, I wasn't really a Windows user. The only time I'd use Windows was as a dumb terminal to access mainframes and mini computers. Like my favorite was the Digital's VMS operating system, or Sunos, or Solaris.
Well, VMS is what became Windows XP, actually.
Yeah,
they've got stuff to go. We'll get back to that
in a little while.
Okay, and then we have a couple of books from our author down in Percy, Alfred, Troubleshooting Your PC. That's a $55 premium. Alfred, you want to tell us a little bit about your book?
It's designed to help you so you don't have to call in to the show and ask us questions and embarrass us when we can't figure out the answer. It's basically covering a whole range of hardware kinds of problems that you might have. Each section starts off with a flow chart, so you can just go right down and hopefully go right to the solution that's going to fix your problem.
So it's not a novel. It's more like a reference.
It's very much a reference. It's not something you're going to sit down and read through cover to cover. It's something you're going to leave on your shelf and go to in desperation.
And hopefully people never have to pick it up, but as always happens.
But it's also got a lot of information that you might want to read ahead of time just on how to prevent and maintain your system so that you don't end up with problems.
Alfred, will you be autographing these?
Absolutely, they'll be autographed.
And how much extra will it cost me if I don't want you to autograph?
You don't want me to autograph them, I'll give a lot more to the station.
You can't take them down to the Strand and turn them in for 25 cents on the dollar
That's
if they're
right.
autographed.
That's right.
Okay, the next item we have is we have about 10 copies of PC Cillin. And I know I've been using PC Cillin, and I know that Joe's using it. And Joe, I know one of the reasons why you use it is because of its update capability.
Well, a lot of people have the auto-update feature, and I think that's good. But what PC Cillin and the folks at Trend have done is they let you pull their server at your schedule. I have it pulling, for example, at every half hour, but it can pull it more frequently or less frequently. And I have found that depending on what the activity is in the worldwide virus market, I might get as many as 6 or 8 updates a week from them. Whereas with some of the other majors in the antivirus market, you go in on Wednesday. That's when Tuesday night they release their updates. If there is a major crisis on Thursday, they may or may not get to it. Folks at Trend have a different attitude. I do like the product.
And I happen to use it, too. And actually, I started using it about 2 months ago, and now I'm hooked on it.
You know, How many viruses get sent to you every week?
You know what? I don't even want to advertise it because you say you don't get any viruses. You will get it. You know?
Well, I do. People attempt to hit me. I don't get hit because I have a lot of different protections on the system.
One of the things that Kevin mentioned in the prior hour, he says one of the things he's looking forward to is email. You're not looking forward to spam mail, trust me.
Well, if I get any emails that say I love you with attachments, am I supposed to click them?
Yes, you want to find out who loves you, Kevin.
And after you've taken the course on backup of your computer so you can recover, backup is a boring, boring subject, but you need to learn this.
Because I understand there's a lot of people that love me out there and that might want to send me an attachment to tell me so.
Exactly, Kevin. And in your book, you point out that, you know, if somebody should call you and say that they're with tech support at AOL and they want to verify your password, you should go along with that. Is that right?
Of course. It's only, what do you have to hide? Just give up your, you know, you can give out your password. You know, do you really have to hide?
And incidentally, there are several people in Nigeria who really do have access to 25, 28, $30 million. And if you simply give them the routing number of your commercial bank, they'll, and a few password indications, they'll be happy to make a direct deposit, and they'll keep 40% and give you 60, or vice versa, depending on whose widow you're talking to.
Right, and if you're working for a law firm, it's okay to use, you know, borrow a couple $1 million to, you know, to pay fees that they need to get paid, so you can get that $25 million deposited in your account.
And the handful of folks who don't recognize these are all classic hacks, the destructive ones that are out there. Be careful about them all, because there's nobody else going to protect you from them.
There are two or three cases where we're all smiling at each other because it's so obvious to us, but there are a couple of cases out there where people actually went over to Nigeria to make the final arrangements and have not yet been heard from, and that was several years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty
scary. They have disappeared.
Did you hear about the lady with the law firm?
No, that one.
Oh, yeah, she was working for a law firm. I believe it was a law firm, and she embezzled $2 million to send over to Nigeria because they conned her into believing that they needed a certain amount of funds as some sort of tax or something to move the $25 million to her account. So she had a bright idea. She figured she'd just borrow about $2.1 million from the law firm, and when she received the $25 million into her account, she'd reimburse the law firm. They wouldn't know any better. Of course, the $25 million was never received, and now she is the one, you know, at the short end of the stick.
Well, maybe she'll get Martha to help decorate this.
No. She needs New York Bank to lend her $600 million like they did for Bernie Ebers so he wouldn't default on his WorldCom debt.
Right. Okay, well, we do have a couple of other premiums, Hank.
Yeah, the next item is we've been offering this now for the past year and a half, and it's been very successful, is our gold card consultation. And it's normally either by telephone or by email.
Well, this is much more than a consultation,
yeah, well,
Hank.
It's a $125 premium.
That's why it's much more than a consultation.
Right. It's a one-year subscription. Go ahead,
it's
Joe.
It's a one-year subscription to a help desk. You've got either a telephone or, more likely, email. You get primary response within a matter of hours, and any help desk question that you need for the next year, we've got experts. For things that I don't know, there's Hank. For things that Hank doesn't know, there's Alfred, there's Michael, there's David, and a whole family of others. Give you an example. Somebody who subscribed to the gold card at the last marathon was having a major problem with Eudora and was totally beyond my capability because I never had that kind of a problem. I couldn't reproduce it. I couldn't figure out what he was doing. We got hold of the development team at Eudora. They solved the problem, which was quite unique to his system, by writing a new release that works on his system and anybody else who can duplicate his system. We can't do that in every case. I've written to Bill Gates, and he's totally ignored me when it's come to that. But some of these smaller developers out there are very anxious to try and stand by our listeners. The gold card, you get a shiny little gold card to keep in your pocket. It's got your serial number on it.
Carat gold.
No, that's not quite true. It's yellow. I couldn't find gold. And you do get a serial number and a special email address, which gets you priority care.
Yeah, we do try very hard on that. And, you know, I think that some of the questions we get on this gold card, Joe, is I know that this one person, he seems to have a question every week. And I think it's like, I'm going to stump you guys.
Well, partly it's I want to stump you guys. Partly he's supporting the station and he, you know, he doesn't have too many technical people that he can chat with, and this is, you know, a friendly thing on his part.
Yeah, by the way, you know, we don't really care where you are. You could be in Kansas City, you can be Palo Alto, and you could be, you know.
Again, let me give out the number. It's 212-209-2950.
By the way, Joe, if they're listening to us on the Internet, what should they do?
Well, they can't email us on the Internet and get the premiums. They can always email us on the Internet to get information.
Well, hopefully they have DSL or broadband. They can still call on the telephone.
They can. And as a matter of fact, Hank, don't you have a premium that's going to help them do that?
Yes, I'm going to go over that a little later. We have two seminars. They are scheduled for December 7th.
That's a Saturday here at the station. At noon, I'm going to take apart a computer and show you what's inside. Not for the academic thought, but so you have some sense that when you walk into a store, what are you buying? What is this 256K RAM that they're talking about? And what is this processor that's running at gigawatt? And give you a pretty good sense of what's involved in a computer and hence what you need to know to buy one. I've been doing this for about, 19, 20 years in one form or another, and people often find it amusing. It's also very practical if you're ever going to buy a computer. Come join me.
And the second seminar?
Second seminar, I'm going to show you how to make a web page, give you the basics of what's involved, make a simple one while we're there, and turn around and do what I do in both seminars, figure out in the audience what you're interested in. There are not going to be that many people there, and cover it. So if it turns out you need to know how to promote your website, or whether you need to know how to make it usable for your school children, as a teacher did when she came in, it's going to cover what the basics of what you need to know for a web page. I am not a fancy web page designer. I've made a few in my day. I'm not going to teach you the latest part of Flash. But you want to get a sense of how to do a web page and what you can do with it? Come in Saturday the 12th. For both of these, BAI gets $75. Fairly useful stuff. A good place to send your money. This station is worth it, which is why we volunteer.
Hank?
So that's a twofer. In other words, it's really going to be about 4 hours that you're going to be teaching, and you're going to be taking apart a machine and show everyone what an 8-inch floppy looks like. And
we're joking about all these things.
Not a 20-year-old computer, is it?
Bill Gates inside?
I don't know. Bill Gates is somebody you have to worry about.
No, come on. You know.
And in addition to that, Hank, you do have a premium that's going out to everybody who makes
Makes a pledge to WBAI and
during the next 2 hours,
up until 11 o'clock, we'll give you two copies, not one copy, but two copies from Vocaltech Internet Phone, and that means that in it you have a license to use it. And then they have an older version in there. Well, instead of you giving a friend an older version or giving a relative an older version, we'll give you two copies so both of you can have the latest copy of the Vocaltech Internet Phone. So you can
use. And
what
does that do for them?
Well, what it does is that you can use the Internet with, of course, the computers on it. And I'm sure Kevin will be looking forward to it eventually. You can make long-distance calls.
Well, Vocaltech is great. The stuff on this is designed to talk from computer to computer so that you both have to have a computer to use it, but then suddenly your phone call is free. The quality depends on the quality.
And, of course, you have to have speakers on the computer and you have to have a microphone. A lot of computers don't have a microphone.
Now, this is going to be built in more and more. The latest version of Windows essentially does this by adding voice to instant messaging. Okay, and you've got a SIP client that lets you do that very nicely. But Jenny's in the back of the room here. If Jenny put on this on her computer and her dad in Denver put the same thing on his computer, they would save absolutely no money on the phone bill, because I'm using another kind of Internet phone in order to get unlimited long-distance calling. That's another story. But no cost. Anybody donating to BAI the next 2 hours, we got a very generous donation from the company of loads of these packages. You get the software to hook up two folks to talk to each other over the Internet, and if that cuts into the AT&T business and they wind up like WorldCom, more's the pity.
Well, they won't quite wind up like WorldCom because they haven't been really cooking their books that badly. But they could
There's only about a $30 or $40 billion distortion, but they did it all according to the legal rules.
Exactly.
Listen, let me give a quick recap then, okay? Michael Horowitz will be conducting a course, everything you wanted to know about backup and recovery. Just not just backing up, but how do you recover? November the 6th, from 6 to 8 p.m., $55, request a donation. A book from Alfred Poor, Troubleshooting Your PC.
And David Stone.
And David Stone. We don't want to leave David out.
Leave David out.
But Alfred will sign the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the requested donation is $55. PC Sillin. We have about 10 copies of that. Requested donation, $55. The Gold Card Consultation, $125.
I bought that a while back, actually.
You didn't. You haven't made use of it.
I haven't bugged you on anything, and I really can't get my printer hooked up over the home network at this point. And I really need to figure that out. I'm doing something wrong in Windows, and this is the way to get the answer.
Incidentally, we were talking a little bit earlier about XP and how it is crash-resistant. I won't say crash-proof, because not only do I average about 3 major crashes a week, but today I had to completely reinstall it. It had gotten so screwed up. You know how they
amazing how you can ruin a computer, Joe. You're good at
that. You know how they're famous for saying, well, with Windows XP, you can crash out of a program, but you don't crash out of the system.
And you know what? If you're using a Sony VAIO laptop with Windows XP Pro, never try to install Neuro Burning ROM. Because what happened is I had to reinstall my entire system from scratch.
There you go.
Back up.
And that's where Michael's...
Maybe back up those system files.
And what else do we have, Hank?
And for $75, there is a twofer seminar on December the 7th, buying a computer at noontime and creating a web page.
It was supposed to be $75 each, but if Hank put it together, anybody who wants to take both, I'm happy to make the money for the station.
And for anyone who gets these premiums, we're going to throw in 2 copies of the Vocaltech Internet Phone.
Okay, let's see. We had a few lights on the switchboard a few minutes ago.
209-250. By the way, while Kevin is here, there was a news item that I found very interesting. And, of course, we know that black boxes are being sold to consumers that can zap telemarketers. It was a simple one. But do you know how many telemarketing calls are made each day?
No. How many?
108 million, 108 million calls.
That's a lot of telephone calls.
Yeah. And the phone company wants to benefit from both end of it, saying, by the way, you know how you can prevent these? Why don't you get caller ID, and then we'll help you with it.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily work. There's a lot of these systems that telemarketing companies use, and Alex would know the names of these systems more than I would. When they place a call to a customer, there's a certain, when you get a disconnect recording, there's a certain pattern of tones that are played. It's in a series of 3 tones. And if a system detects these tones, it sets a flag on that telephone number, not that this number is disconnected. So that's a trick people could use to avoid telemarketing calls. And maybe you could...
Alex Casper is a co-host with Kevin of a radio show that's regularly broadcast. And Alex, how do you do that?
Well, the Bell system back in the day in the late 70s developed what's called the Standard Information Tone Plan. 12 series of tones. You've all heard them. It goes dee, dee, dee. They're slightly different. But the predictive dialing software and systems that telemarketers use listen for those 3 tones. And when it hears it, it says, hey, this number is disconnected, and pulls it out of the database. So what you do is you can get a box from several vendors that plugs into your phone, so when you pick up the phone, it goes dee, dee, dee.
Now, I want one.
And so there you go.
Well, you know, one of the problems I have is, and my wife is always complaining, is that we would get these phone calls, and we say, please delete us from the list. And then an hour later, my wife says, wait a minute, didn't I hear your voice an hour ago? He says, but I'm calling from a different company.
Right.
That happens.
That's interesting.
But you also notice
that happened in Pennsylvania.
No. What they're saying is they represent now another company.
No,
it's another product.
Pennsylvania has a statewide
no-call list
that
the governor can legally call them again.
Right.
Pennsylvania has that. So does New York State have that. But a lot of states
the FCC
don't yet
is
that.
Looking at that. All the more reason to go
they're
call
not observing
on
it.
The FCC is actually of an open proceeding on this stuff. All the more reason to go and ask for an ex parte appointment with the appropriate FCC official and explain why this is necessary and the telemarketing does not aid the U.S. economy.
Well,
by the way, telemarketers do spoof caller ID.
Yes, that I already know because I have been spoofed. And I was wondering how they did it, and until you had explained it a few minutes ago while you were talking with Eric, I didn't realize that was that easy to get done.
Yeah, very simple. You pretty much have to have a PBX and just reprogram it.
And many of these telemarketers do have the private branch exchange system at their offices, and there you go. One of the
I bet I could figure out how to get that PBX into software. I'm not good enough to do that, but I certainly know some people that do. And there's a heck of a lot of telecom engineers out of work. I mean, Nortel laid off 2/3 of their folks, and so did Lucent.
Yeah, you can buy one from New Jersey from Dialogic. They have a whole PBX on a box. Well, one card. Just slip it in.
There's that, but there's a lot simpler thing. For example, almost every telemarketer who calls me, there's a pause between the time I pick up the phone and say, hello, 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 and then they come on. Well, I've been trying to call the president of the New York Amateur Computer Club, and I noticed that I generally have to call him 3 or 4 times before the call goes through. I would pick up the phone, and there'd be nobody there, because what I was doing is I was using the speakerphone to dial out, and when he picked it up, I then reached over, picked up the handset, picked it up to my ear. But his system, if there was a certain delay between the time it was picked up and I said hello, it was an auto disconnect.
Yeah.
A different black box, a very useful one for him, but a real pain in the neck for me. Now that he's told me that, I can't use my speed dialing. They used to call it demon dialers, remember?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I can't do the one-button dialing with him, because unless I'm holding it, it's a pain in the neck. And what's happening with spam email, with telemarketers, with all of these things going on, we're the ones who suffer.
I
have to jump in and disagree a little bit.
You want to suffer, Alfred.
I don't want to suffer. I do suffer with you, and there's no doubt about it. But, you know, David said, you know, that there's no economic benefit to, you know, or whatever.
Well, David doesn't know what he's talking about most of the time.
Telemarketing, and that's clearly wrong. It's the same as with junk mail. It's the same as with all the stuff that's in your...
Now, it's funny. You say with junk mail, but back for many, many years, I was in the business of doing mail order books. And we used to call it direct marketing. We didn't call it junk mail.
And that's because you were sending it. The people who got it called it junk mail.
Actually, during the years that I was in that business, and it ranged for close to 20 years, you could get the figures from your post office, which showed that third-class mail was the only profitable mail the post office carried.
Yep, and that is the whole point. The telemarketers will stop calling you at dinner time just as soon as it stops paying.
Well,
the fact that you're right, Alfred.
Now, wait a minute. If it's 108 million calls a day, and if about slightly 1% is successful, that's 1 million calls.
There's a difference between what's good for the economy and what happens to pay off for the company doing it. That's where the public policy issues are. That is being raised.
You can
hear the telemarketers in Washington turn around and say that we were doing an incredible favor letting people know about the offers available to them and how much money they save, and they're making that argument with a straight face at the FCC with high-priced economists doing the studies
and
to back it up.
And obviously they're right, because I'll tell you the truth, Dave. Back when I was doing third-class mail, direct marketing, today people are doing spam, people are doing telemarketing. If we didn't get customers to buy, we couldn't stay in business. If we didn't stay in business, you wouldn't get the spam. I have a policy. No matter how good the offer is, if it's spam mail, email, I will not... Well, first of all, I don't know it's a good offer, because I now filter it out and throw it away before it ever gets to me.
But they're getting smarter.
More of it's getting through the filters. But I will not buy anything from unsolicited commercial email, period. Even if it would be to my advantage to do it, I will not do it.
But you're still in the minority.
Yes, I am.
And you're spitting into the wind.
And no, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, so we have at least 4 people in this room who think we need more spam, more annoying phone calls, and more junk mail.
No,
Alfred is saying it is effective, therefore it continues.
Exactly. And I'm saying I'm not spitting into the wind, because I'm not part of the team. I'm not part of the game. I am not participating. I don't... You know, when I get a telephone solicitation, I'm always very polite. I say, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not interested in the offer. Thank you very much for calling.
You forgot to say, please remove my name from the list.
No, that gets you more phone calls.
I don't do that, because it's a waste of time. And I am polite, because these are people trying to make a salary, trying to make a living to feed themselves and other people or in their families. That's their way of making a living. Fine. I'm not participating in it, but I don't have to badmouth them. As a matter of fact, there is a product out there that I think I don't understand its merits, but when you get an unsolicited phone call, you press a button, and it says, thank you very much for calling, but we're not in a mall. Well, why you can't say that yourself without spending $30? I don't know, but somebody's making money on that product.
But I'll tell you, if you want to hurt them, all you have to do is keep that telemarketer on the line.
Hey, there's
keep them on the phone. Tie up the phone. Tie up the person. They're going to keep drawing their salary, and you're going to tie up.
Well,
the
if they're on commission, no, you're not going to.
Well, okay, if they're on commission,
no. And
but
most of these people are commission salesmen. And commission selling is one of the toughest businesses, whether it's telephone or door to door or in a store. Commission selling is a really tough racket, I won't string them out, but I will say to them, I am not your customer, even if I want the product.
Yep.
That is my policy.
Yeah, I won't buy anything unsolicited.
Kevin?
On the phone either.
There's a great website out there, because I have a friend that actually has made it a crusade to stop junk calls, and I believe his website is www.stopjunkcalls.com, and there's certain things that people can do that if you receive an unsolicited call, you could be put on a list of you could ask to be added to the list so you won't be called in the future. And if that company violates that policy, you could sue them for like $500 or something like that. But I'm not really that knowledgeable about what can be done, but I believe if you go to that website, www.stopjunkcalls.com, that will offer you a lot of information if you're interested in stopping it.
If you live in New York State, you can go to the New York State, the official New York State site, which is nystate.gov, I believe, and you'll find a link to an opt-out database. And I think it's, Hank, is it 30 or 90 days after your name is on the database, any phone solicitations are against the law. But that's only, and it works that way in every state, only if they're within that state.
Now, and I have a question for you.
No, not only within the state.
I'm wrong.
Okay, at least not in Pennsylvania.
Wait, I have a question. Why is it that you never get these telemarketing calls if you have a prefix of 917?
Cellular?
You're cellular. Why?
No one
bothers with cellular owners.
Because people will probably just hang up on them because they don't want to eat up their cellular airtime talking to a telemarketer.
Partly that, but also you can't get the demographics on a cellular customer. You can get the demographics on a three-digit exchange.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, people are, this shouldn't be a show on marketing, but since we're getting there, people should be aware that these are not blind calls. These are not blind pieces of mail. Email spam, I don't know about. I've never been involved in it. But on regular third-class mail or telemarketing, it's based on demographics, and they know that in certain demographics they're going to get a certain percentage return, and they can live with that return. For example, in direct mail marketing, 2%, you're home free. Much less than that, then you have to really squeeze your profit, and you've got to know where you're going. More than that, you've got a license to steal.
So
if you get a list of a million names and you consistently get 0.8, 0.7, 0.6 return, you're going to stop buying those names, stop renting those names, actually.
We have premiums available.
We do.
You can call 212-209-2950. We need to hear one or two phones ring before we continue talking about it. Everything you want to know about backing up and recovery, November the 6th, Michael will be running that. On December the 7th, we have Dave buying a computer and creating web pages. That's from 12 to probably around 4 o'clock noontime. And by the way, both of these will be at WBAI, 120 Wall Street. By the way, when we first started in 84 on the air, I could never imagine me saying WBAI on Wall Street. I mean, that's sort of like
hey,
anathema. Huh?
Think of sending Dave Burstein, and you know what I'm like, and you know what I look like, in a fancy office down in the government in Washington. We have such a goof. I tell them that usually I'm outside picketing.
Hey, listen, you know, every time you're on the air and I'm here, I'm always on your left. Have you noticed that? Physically, I'm always on your left.
And obviously, Hank is a rabid left-winger. He's one of these folks who believed in the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward and doing away with the nationalist regime and wants to have China include Taiwan.
Okay, 209-2950, 212-209-2950. Our special guest tonight, who you've been listening to for the last 2.5 hours, I guess it is, Kevin Mitnick and Alex Casper, his co-host on his radio show. Kevin has written a book brought out by Wiley called The Art of Deception. And this, you know, if you know the name Kevin Mitnick, you're immediately thinking, well, it's a book about hacking and it's a book about hardware. And it's not. The Art of Deception is really a book about social engineering. And for those of you who don't know what social engineering is, it's a book about how to con you out of the information that I can't get out of you through technology, but I'll get out of you on the phone or in person. Kevin, you first came to my attention through a series of articles in the New York Times by that great historian and raconteur Jean Markoff, who I've had some difficulties with in the past.
He gets some of his stories right. At least one in three are right.
John McMillan introduced me to Markoff and to his work, and it wasn't for a year or 2 years that I discovered that not everything that Markoff writes is golden.
Now, in fact, I was victimized by Markoff. He, many years ago, he approached his ex-wife, Katie Hafner, and he were writing a book called Cyberpunk, and they wanted to write about me in that book, and they wanted my cooperation. I asked them, well, sure, I'd be willing to allow you guys to tell my story. How do you want to split the pie? And they told me, oh, no, we just want to interview you and tell your life story for free. And I said, well, I'm not really interested. And I was given an ultimatum. Simply, if you're not going to interview us and tell us your side of the story, anything that anyone else says about you, we're just going to print as fact. So eventually the book came out, and it turned out to be a defamatory and libelous book about me, because the book was written about three separate hackers. Subsequently, a movie company wanted to option the story about me and make it into a motion picture. Well, at the time, I wasn't doing that well financially, so I agreed, and I signed a two-year option. And I was given a $5,000 upfront fee, and if they exercised the option, I would have received an additional $45,000. So $50,000 for doing nothing seemed like a good thing at the time. So I went ahead and optioned the movie rights, and the deal required everyone to participate. If anybody that the movie company, all the characters, if any of those characters fell out of the deal, it killed the whole deal for everybody. Well, at the end of 2 years, they still hadn't really made any progress on making the film, so they wanted to renew that option. And at the time, I was working, and I declined, and I killed the whole deal for everybody, including Markoff. So there was this animosity between myself and Markoff because I cost him money. I cost him and his wife a lot of money. Well, subsequently, when I ended up getting into trouble with the law for my computer hacking escapades, Markoff wanted to write a book about me. So what he did is he abused his position at the New York Times and wrote a story which ended up on the front page above the fold, which didn't use the word allege, but basically stated as fact that I did things such as I broke into NORAD.
Did you?
No. It was right. That was taken right out of the movie War Games.
Kevin, isn't that really hard? I mean, do you know anybody who's actually cracked NORAD?
No.
There's other places.
No.
But
no,
NORAD?
I can't imagine they would be connected to any public network. I mean, that would be asinine.
In fact, Hank, when you were working on systems like that, because you used to be involved in missile defense, were they really hackable by some kid, like in the movies, that could get in and get to a defense system that actually ties into missiles?
You know, it's a funny thing you ask me that, because in those days, I was working on computers that were so fast, 24 instructions per second, it was vacuum tube, and so let's put it this way. We were happy if the vacuum tube stayed on, okay? So it's different times.
Do you really?
But basically, Dave, the answer to the question is secure systems like NORAD, and there are many such secure systems, are totally isolated. You can't get to them through the public telephone
right.
network. You can't get to them through the Internet. You can't get to, you can get to them.
Now, any defense-oriented system is going to be totally autonomous to any network.
It's going to be
dialogue.
Easier to get to them through social engineering, and Kevin will go into that a little
bit. The only thing that gets to them is your money to fund the project, but nothing goes the other way.
What else was alleged?
So anyway, not even alleged. It was just stated this fact. I broke into NORAD. I wiretapped the FBI. That I planted a false news story about Security Pacific Bank losing $400 million when they turned me down when they rescinded an employment offer. And there's many other things, but it's kind of lengthy. And Suffice it to say, there were at least 60 unsourced allegations stated as fact. There were things that Mr. Markoff alleged that I hadn't done, nor had they been done by anybody else. It was just fiction. And at the same time, Markoff made the government look inept at catching me. So he played me up as this national security threat, at the same time made the FBI and the Secret Service look stupid because they couldn't find me. Well, at that time, it became a high priority for the DOJ. And I have to credit Markoff I credit him with creating the myth of Kevin Mitnick. And because of this myth of Kevin Mitnick, the government made an example out of me. But it's not solely because of him. I don't want to place all the blame on Markoff. It was in large part due to my hacking. But I have to give Markoff some blame here, because if I wasn't sensationalized or demonized in the press and accused of things that I hadn't done and been played up as this national security threat at the same time making the FBI look like Keystone Cops, I don't think I would have been treated in such a harsh fashion as I would by the justice system.
Were any of these claims, allegations, accusatory statements brought out in your trial?
No, of course not. I was never charged with it. I was never convicted with it.
In other words, what you're saying is, if you were not Martha Stewart, it wouldn't have been such
high profile.
Yeah, it's kind
of scary. It's like you're a guy out there in the world. Some newspaper reporter wants to write a story about you to sensationalize your character for the intentions of being able to write a book about you, and then makes up a lie that, hey, you're a child molester, you're on the front page of the New York Times, what can you do to protect yourself?
In the last 2 years, there have been reporters from the Washington Times, the Boston Globe, two or three other newspapers, who have made up stories and as a result got canned. Anything happen to Markoff?
No. And at the time, I was in custody, in federal custody, in pretrial detention, and I didn't have the resources to file any type of libel suit. And unfortunately, when you sue the media under the libel laws, you have to prove actual malice. Yes. That's a very difficult standard to reach, because you have to prove that they intended to harm you.
As a matter of fact, the Supreme Court case was against the Times that established that, so you didn't really want to do that. But, as I said, other journalists who have just been outrageously less than truthful, shall we say, in their stories, have suffered personally by losing their jobs. Did you bring it to the attention of any of the people, editorial people at the Times, that there were facts alleged that were just not true and were not fact-checked?
Well, unfortunately, my attorney would not allow me to speak to the press at the time because I was undergoing a criminal charges. So I was pretty much censored by my attorney not to speak to anybody. And he, at the time, was so interested in defending against the criminal charges that were against me that he was only appointed by the court to defend me in the criminal case. So I had nobody representing my interest with the Markoff issue. But what it's done is it's really created a lot of misconception about who Kevin Mitnick is and about the things that I have done. A lot of people around the world have read these stories about me, which are untrue, and believe them because they've read them in the New York Times, or other media organizations have went into LexisNexis or into Westlaw and found these stories that were written, that were published in the Times, and they've reprinted them in other print media.
Very difficult to
and
catch up with.
It's a snowball.
It's
a snowball effect, so I was never able to set the story straight.
Now, I understand from Eric that he got a galley copy of your book, Advanced Galleys. Actually, what he had was a thing called a BOM, a Book of the Month Club Advanced.
Oh.
And it was a bound galley from Wiley, and he said that there was a chapter in that book that really...
You told the whole story. I told the whole story about...
But I see in this book, which is on the in the bookstores, that chapter doesn't exist anymore.
No, my publisher decided to remove that chapter, and I can't really discuss the rationale publicly, but I wrote the chapter. I was very excited about it because for once Kevin Mitnick was going to be able to tell his side of the story, because I don't have the luxury of being able to write an op-ed piece in the New York Times or write an article about my side of the story. So I was hoping I'd be able to get it out in this book, but my publisher had decided that story didn't fit well with what we were trying to do with this book, so they removed it.
before we continue with this, and it's a very interesting story in itself, Hank, how can people show their support for Kevin, for WBAI, for our show?
It's very important that we are able to continue to be able to make stories like this available. There are, you know, the mainstream media, you just don't hear this stuff at all. I know that when we first started, there was nothing covering computing, and it was fortunate that the public affairs director says, hey, maybe we should try it. And 4 years after that, they got off the hook people onto. But, you know, it cost money. I know it cost almost $200,000 just for a rental of, 4 feet by 6 foot space at the Empire State Building for the radio transmitter. Now, the radio transmitter is 50,000 watts. Now, people don't realize that 50,000 watts is the maximum allowable by law. So we have a 90-mile radius. And, of course, now with the Internet, we can get out further than that.
Well, if you go to 2600.com, wherever you are in the world, you can listen to WBAI. You can go to WBAI.org, and wherever you are in the world, listen to WBAI. Therefore, if you can listen to WBAI no matter where you are in the world, you can call 212-209-2950-209-2950 and make a pledge to support this station, to allow us to bring you voices like Kevin Mitnick, who has a lot of interesting stories to tell, but I don't know how many of the mainstream radio stations really want to hear these stories.
Well, see, the mainstream media at this point, you know, my story is an old story. It's a six-year-old story.
Yeah, but the thing is, we're not in the ratings, you see. You know, one of the things that Joe can tell you that I've gone through is that in the early 90s, I had strongly criticized IBM, and in fact, it was around December of 92, and I said, you know, would you invest in a company where the debt-to-equity ratio was greater than 49% or has a special project that spreads out over three continents with 2,000 programmers? I was referring, of course, to OS2. And the next day I got a phone call, and my boss says to me, you know, I got a call from IBM. They would like us to sever connections with you. Obviously, you know, they didn't do it. And, of course, 2-3 months later, John Akers was gone. I mean, hey, you know what? We're not afraid to tell stories like this.
But the only way we can tell these stories is if you support us. Only right now, out of the hundreds and thousands of people listening to this show, one person is on the phone supporting the station. 209-2950. 212-209-2950. If enough of you call in, we'll start opening up the telephones so that you can ask Kevin your questions. He's going to be here for another 15 or 20 minutes, and then he's gone. So,
pity, because I'd like to listen to Kevin for another hour and hear some more.
Kevin, a quick question. When does a probationary period end so that you're not muzzled?
Well, actually, I can talk, since I'm doing this and I'm not earning any money, I could actually talk about anything over the air. It's a nonprofit station.
Mm-hmm.
But my supervised release conditions expire on January 21st. And that's when I could use technology without getting the permission of the probation department.
Oh, so
fortunately, I'm allowed to use a computer now. I can't use the Internet.
You can't go online.
Can't go online.
But you can calculate.
Hey, what is this, China?
Well,
China and Saudi Arabia are the two countries that most
regularly lately Osama bin Mitnick of the Internet, so, right? I mean, according to the federal government, so they feel safer if I'm
online. Oh, I know you're good, but you're not that good.
Well, you better talk to the U.S. government about it. That was a worldwide chase.
Well, you know, according to the New York Times then, they probably created stories where people would come up to you and ask you, how do you walk on water?
What they did is there's the myth of Kevin Mitnick and there's the reality of Kevin Mitnick. And unfortunately, because the mainstream media is either not interested in talking about this or they're concerned about getting sued by the New York Times or by John Markoff himself, they are not interested in covering my side of the story, and it's kind of old. And to be honest, what I've kind of done is I really put all this Markoff stuff behind me, even though I did want to include it in my book because I thought it was important to get my side of the story out. I'm kind of put it behind me, and I'm moving forward. You know, I started my own security company. I've written this book that I hope will really help businesses protect themselves because a lot of businesses these days and corporations are clueless. They invest all their security budget in security technologies, high-tech solutions.
You know, actually, Joe and I disagreed on that because he says, no. You know how they spend all their money? Hiring the one top guy to say, we got It's just like they hired Giuliani, what, Mexico, $4.3 million? So they said, we got the top guy on security for $4.3 million.
They spent it on coffee.
Well, you could bring in Bruce Schneier, for example, who did write the great book on security, and he'll say he can't secure you without having the feds threatening to put you in jail, as he just did this week, saying we need more laws and more hackers put in jail.
Well, the big thing for the corporations today is not to have security, but to convince the stock market that they do have security. And you don't do that with hardware or software or technical talent. You do that with a spokesperson.
It's a PR campaign.
It's a PR campaign. You know, the back of Kevin's book, the book is called The Art of Deception. And at first you say to yourself, well, why would a hacker like Mitnick come out with a book called The Art of Deception? That sounds like one of these perhaps The Art of War.
That's one of the reasons I chose the title. It was a tribute to Sun Tzu's Art of War. I really enjoyed that work.
It was a good work, but why would a hacker... And then I turned the book over. Before I looked at the book, because of my background in publishing, I looked at the back of the book, the dust jacket, and it said, The Legendary Hacker. Well, that's due to Markov, I guess.
In large part.
He's a hacker. Markov created a legend. Reveals how to guard against the gravest security risk of all. And I said, what's the gravest security risk of all? Let's see. Online, breaking in, viruses... Physical, breaking and entering, human nature, according to this, human nature. And then Publishers Weekly, which is an old trade magazine of the publishing industry, said, a tour de force, a series of tales of how some old-fashioned blarney, high-tech, combined with high-tech skills, can pry information from anyone. The Art of Deception has nothing really to do with computers. The stories that are in this book would apply in many ways, even if you never saw a computer.
Yeah, but the targets were computer systems and information, and it was using old-fashioned con artistry to manipulate people into giving the keys or giving information or doing something.
Something that you could never have broken into yourself through your technical skills, you suddenly had the keys to the kingdom.
No, if the truth be known, it was a combination of using the art of deception, using social engineering, and using technical skills, technical exploits, to actually compromise these systems. And in my experience, and I don't mean to be braggadocious here, is every system that I've tried to hack into over the years, there was only one that I wasn't able to get into, and that's because it existed at somebody's home who didn't have a dial-up, lived in the UK, didn't have a dial-up line, and wasn't connected to a network. So it was kind of difficult, unless I were going to go over to the UK.
As I've always said, the only real secure system is one that has no connection to the outside world and no floppy drive.
That's not true. And there's always a misconception. The safest computer system the most secure system is one that's turned off. And I actually state in my book that that's not necessarily true, because then you can manipulate somebody to turn it on.
Yeah, and that's where this comes in. You call it social engineering. They called it blarney. But what this is talking your way in where you can't break in, using the strongest tools of all, your brain and your tongue. Dave.
Yeah, I had a big argument on this. I wrote a book which included a chapter on security.
Okay.
And I turned around, and I knew Emmanuel and Fiber and some of those folks, and I started talking to them. And we asked them, where are the serious hacks? How do they happen? Is it people doing stuff, breaking through firewalls and incredibly sophisticated technology? Or did they find some way to fool people? Sometimes on the phone, lots of ways. Human engineering, social engineering. So let me put this to you. You know a little bit about getting into systems. Which is more likely to be a major system break? By high-tech, fancy ways of knowing all the bugs inside, you know, the latest IPsec, or knowing how to deal with the person on the phone?
Well, what I can say is the easiest way is through people, and not technology is the easiest way. But both ways are extremely effective. And in my experience, I use both of them.
The reason why I'm saying that is there was a book that talked about hacking, said you could prevent hacking by reading the book. It was a very good book on firewalls. And I turned around and said it was a worthless book and I couldn't recommend it because most of the real hacking happened the way you're talking about.
Yes, but I must interrupt, Dave. Just for a moment, Kevin, because I'm sure you don't listen to our show every week, just occasionally when you're in town. And he's the famous computer expert who got on these very microphones and said, you don't need a firewall. He doesn't believe in firewalls. They don't do any good.
No, I didn't say I didn't believe in firewalls. His brother came on the air
that very night and said, Dave, I'll tell you why you need a firewall.
You do need a firewall.
You'd absolutely need a firewall, but it's not going to protect you from people hacking into your home computer and causing trouble in any numbers. According to the guy at Arclink who handles the security complaints, it just doesn't happen that often. You need it for other reasons. That's another joke. I got Kevin here. This is too good a story.
Okay. It's all about managing the vulnerabilities.
You
got to
protect
the people.
Keep fundraising, then I'll get back.
We got to get some money going here, folks. We've been on the air for almost an hour, and not enough of you have called in, and where you have to call
is... heck, we've got good stuff. You've got Joe King and Hank Key and all the friends we know willing to try to solve a computer problem when you have it. Anybody who doesn't need that, and that isn't worth $125 to...
This is a one-year help desk support.
Okay.
Some people can't afford it. Now, some people can't afford it, and some people don't know what help desk support is. So let me tell you, 209-2950, that's where you call. Let's see some lights going on, folks. 212-209-2950.
Even the best computer tech support is very often pretty poor. So this is quite a bargain at $125 for a year.
Unlimited Microsoft's rates. $125 for 5 minutes, probably.
Yeah,
I think it's $240 per problem, I think.
Yeah, they've switched over to the per-incident method. We don't. We're giving you an unlimited number of requests for information, software, hardware, technique, whatever
opinions.
It is. Opinions. You're going to go buy. We had a gold card member call in 2 weeks ago. He wanted to know which DVD burner to buy. And I think the information he got from Hank enabled him to save the price of his gold card. The gold card is $125 for a year's worth of support. Hank, what else you got?
Yeah, well, let me talk about that gold card, okay? You know, you can always pick up a magazine to get an evaluation. And, of course, I used to write for InfoWorld. I was a columnist for them. And after a couple of years of writing for them, the Jonathan Sachs, who was the editor, said to me, you know, I can't continue with you like this. And I said, why not? He says, you know, you're not supposed to knock products. I says, well, if they're not good, shouldn't I be knocking? He says, that's okay, but you crossed the line. I says, what do you mean? When you start knocking InfoWorld, you've crossed the line. Because I was knocking InfoWorld where everything was rated 7.0 and above. And, of course, my comment was, if average is 5.0 and everything's above average, then what is average? But what we do, which is something very unique, is that we actually will tell you our opinion. And we'll give it thumbs up or thumbs down.
Right. There's nobody who may...
You won't find that in any magazine
and we'll
where...
completely disagree with each other also. If you put Dave, Hank, and me into a room, throw the question out, you'll get four opinions.
That's right. Because Alfred will jump in.
Yeah. That's an old joke, and it turns out that most of the time on practical stuff, we agree over the years. Overwhelmingly, we agree. And obviously, we disagree on politics. We disagree on hacking. We disagree on the net.
There's nobody calling, Dave. Just a second.
Oh, come on.
209-2950. 209-2950. 212-209-2950. Come on. Let's have somebody call, because we're not going to keep talking to anybody here. We're not even going to talk among ourselves. 209-2950.
Yeah, you know what?
We've got all kinds of premiums here. We've got seminars, everything you want to know about backing up and recovering and saving yourself.
Have you ever wanted to make a webpage?
Troubleshooting your PC, a book by Alfred Poor and David Stone, PC Sullen, a very fine antivirus program, the gold card for help desk support for a year. Come on. There's one person calling in.
Have you ever saved anyone one of these gold cards? Like, what's the best story you have? When someone had a gold card, they called you, what happened?
Alfred, you have.
All I remember was
we've been doing a lot of them.
His
really.
Sense of appreciation after we solved this problem, but I can't for the life of me remember what the problem was.
I do recall that there was a teacher who had a problem. I can't remember what the problem was, but it had to do with
installing Windows on a whole lot of computers.
A whole bunch of computers that were donated.
And he wanted the easiest way to install.
By the way, he was at the club meeting.
Some of these down. You're absolutely right.
By the way, that fella was at the club meeting last week, and I gave him a couple more ways of doing it. And what he didn't realize is that he got all these donations from corporate America, and of course these are all different machines. And what he tried to do was cookie cut the same configuration on all these machines and network them together. And I said, you can't do that. And what he did was he would build one machine and then try to copy that. And I says, no, what you have to do is make it a standard VGA and standard video adapter, and then you could do a cookie cut, and then based on that, reconfigure what the video monitors are and the video adapter. He says, you know what? I didn't realize that every machine had maybe perhaps a slightly different configuration.
Yep. And Hank is telling things like this every week on the air. We've been able to help a lot of people. We've answered a whole lot of questions. To help BAI, we'll answer your questions directly.
Well, you know what the more important thing is?
I just thought of one that I would like to talk about for a second, because it was very embarrassing to the Gold Card member whose machine had been hijacked by a porn site in China.
What do you do? Who would you call otherwise if you didn't have it?
And exactly, where would you go with that? You're not going to call up Gateway or Microsoft.
They'll tell you to reinstall and erase everything you have.
Yeah, exactly. That's a common thing. I called Sony a couple times because I had some issues with my...
Take two reinstalls and call me in the morning.
Yeah. No, the common thing is their tech support is they'll go through a few... the basic steps, and it's just reformat and reinstall.
And you lose everything, but you should have backed up, right?
You should have backed up.
You're a little bit embarrassed in the first place because it's very obvious that what you've got, you could only have gotten at a porn site, and I knew it was a Chinese porn site because it was using the Chinese character set, but aside from that, we walked him through a manual cleaning out of the registry, and he got his machine back.
You can't get that anywhere. I know you can. I mean, we know that you can't, and this is more valuable than what you're offering it for.
Well, I'll tell you, we started off offering it at $100 a year, and then we said, well, this is just a trial, and we're going to go up on the next marathon, and we're going to go up to 100 and a quarter. Now, I'm telling you, we're selling it for 100 and a quarter tonight, and the next marathon, it's going to be 150. It's a bargain, because you don't just have me or Hank or Dave or Alfred. You have all the people that we know, because if we can't answer the problem, somebody out there can, and we're going to get you an answer. I don't think we've had any Gold Card request for info that we've had to say, gee, we're tapped out.
You know, one of the important things...
It'll happen.
No. Actually, you know, where they have come to us as one of the sources that you normally don't get is an opinion on... Tell me if this is really a good product or bad product. You really can't go anywhere. Someone will say, that stinks. Don't go there. Yeah. You know that? Think about
that
for a moment.
There's someone out there right now who's listening to this, and they're like on the fence of whether to buy the card or not. And mark my words, tomorrow or within the next week, you're going to wish you bought that card.
It's
not going to be there.
You got to buy it within the next hour. One more hour.
You know, you talk about question. I had one question, and the question was, I want to buy a CD burner. You have any suggestions? And I says, yep. And then he came back to me and said, do you have any particular brands in mind? I told him what brands to avoid, because we have had reports of problems with certain brands.
I want to interrupt because we've got another hour to spend on the air, but unfortunately Kevin doesn't. He's got another commitment, and he's going to give us another 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. Dave?
Kevin, we got to finish this when we talk about what you can say and what you can't. Is it Scambray's book? Is it called Hacking Exposed?
What about Joel's book?
Joel's book. What's his name?
Joel Scambray and George Kurtz. You mean Hacking Exposed? What about
it? It is Hacking Exposed. Okay. Hacking Exposed is the best book I know about how to protect your computer. And when I wrote a chapter on security, I recommended it very strongly. In fact, I took an illustration with permission redrawn from them.
Right, okay.
Okay? Jenny Bourne and I had our name on that book. That was our book, and we sure had the contractual right to say something like, this is a great book.
Right.
We couldn't say it, because Wiley hadn't published it. Carol Long, our editor, the same one that you were there, said, no, we have a great hacking book, and she did a nice thing. She sent it over. Looked at it. It was great on firewalls. It was totally useless on all the other parts of hacking, and it said, this is all you need.
Yeah, like companies that leave port 80 open, HTTP, leaving their website. I mean, there's so many different ways of doing it.
There's loads and loads of stuff. But the reason I went to that, this is the common thing in the commercial world. I wasn't that surprised. We gave in to Carol on this. We talked about why her book was good for what it was good for. And we took out almost all this stuff about the best book in the business. Pity about that. Here on BAI, Joe, has anybody ever turned around and said that you can't say anything about computers on BAI outside the show?
Oh, outside the show? You've said that to me numerous times.
Oh, we have
times.
Numerous times. You shut me down again and again.
Listen, I have a
but
quick,
that's us.
I have a quick question. Kevin, there's a book signing where?
I believe it's on October 28th. It's at Barnes & Noble. I don't know which one in New York. I understand you have quite a few of them. But you can go to my website.
I tell you what. Where
you can go to my website and you can look at my whole...
What is your website?
www.defensivethinking.com. You click on Artificial...
It's not your website, but that's
my company.
It's
my company. We started a company called Defensive Thinking.
Did I actually put that together for you?
No.
I did. Okay.
They
also promised us $50,000 in promotion and then didn't do it, but that's okay.
Alex, are you involved in this Defensive Thinking?
Yeah, actually, Kevin and I started the company about a month ago.
That's terrific. We're going to have a cross-link on our website to that, Michael.
It's there, actually, at the moment.
It's already up there.
Yeah,
so you can go to pcradioshow.org, click on the link over to Kevin's
on the
site.
Announcement.
And click on Art of Deception, and it will bring up a schedule. So if you're interested in looking at, viewing any of my TV appearances, listening to any of the shows I'm on, I'm doing Art Bell. I'm doing Art Bell on next Monday, which is a very interesting show.
Mm-hmm. And he's almost as accurate as John Markoff.
Well, actually, George, I don't know his last name, is filling in for him, but I'll be on that show. But in any event, if you're interested in looking at where I'm signing books, everybody's welcome to come. And
when you get there and you buy the book and you ask Kevin to sign it, tell him you're a WBAI listener and he'll write his name more legibly for you.
That's right. I'll even sign and date it and put something like WBAI is the best radio station.
It is the best.
There was one thing. When we talked about the book and social engineering, you mentioned that it was technology and Blarney combined. And we didn't really give an example. And as Kevin and I have to leave, I can give you one quick example.
Please do.
That we've used in the book and Kevin and I are very fond of. If you were in your company's elevator and you happen to find a disc on the floor with your company's logo on it and payroll histories 2002 written on the disc, what's the chance you turn that disc in and what's the chance you take it back and pop it on your computer to take a look at it? You pop it on your computer, you see what looks like a Word document, double-click it, doesn't work, you throw it away.
Oh, that would be a
ever heard
great
of a,
way to crash on a computer.
Not crash. You've heard of Trojan horses and you've heard of spyware. If you wrote a silent install of spyware, it could install itself in your machine and everything you typed would be emailed back to the hacker. You would never know. You drop a couple of those things around a company, you're in the company and no one knows.
And how about the Trojan actually being a piece of software that connects out from the internal network out to the external internet to some computer that's already been compromised, and then the hacker could tunnel into the internal network.
And I'm a reporter, and it's so much work to get this information. Maybe I should do that. Every time I visit a Verizon or a Pac Bell or somebody, leave a few of these behind.
Well, if you want a few more stories like that, and just as entertaining, The Art of Deception by Kevin Mitnick and William Simon, published by
Wiley.
And Woz wrote the foreword to it.
Steve Wozniak. Yes, he'll sign the laptops I have up on eBay. It was quite funny. It's quite interesting.
Incidentally, have you complained to the eBay folks about the phony Kevin Mitnick laptops?
Yeah, my girlfriend did, and hopefully they'll take it down as soon as possible.
The last time we had any information on eBay, when they get notice of a fraud like that, they can guarantee that they get rid of it within 3 months.
Yeah, they take a long time,
and it's really
I've even received fraudulent bids on the laptop and had to go through the process of now I have to get a refund because they automatically charge you, presumably you sold the item, which you never did because the person never came through, and then you have to go through the process of reversing the whole mess.
So for anybody who thought that a good hacker, if they had trouble with a thing like eBay, would just go in and take care of it, just like if they got a bad grade in school, they would solve that. It doesn't really work like that, Kevin. When you have problems in life, you don't do that to people, computer, do you?
No. Do not. Not at all. I'm the retired hacker, but I want to leave you with one thing. If you're interested in protecting your organization against social engineering attacks, it's really three steps. First of all, you want to prevent an attack. How do you do that? Well, you make your people aware of the threat that exists out there, that it really does exist, that there's people out there that are doing this today using the same techniques that I used that are successful today, and understanding how it's done. And that's what the stories in the book illustrate. And then learning to detect the red flags. What signs should you look for to determine if somebody is trying to deceive you? And then finally, how do you respond to that? A lot of companies just they don't have a security hotline. They don't know how to respond. So when the social engineer fails and somebody realizes it was a suspicious call, the social engineer just hangs up and tries the next guy until he finds a dupe. So the key is to set up a response program so when a social engineering attack is successful or suspected, that the department that is responsible for obtaining these reports notifies everybody through like an email or some sort of a broadcast voicemail, so the next person at that company won't be easily deceived.
It's all in the book.
It's like an early it's an early warning system that's all detailed in the book.
And next time I'll share my research with you on how to self-publish if you can't stand your publisher, although I think I'd much rather have a good commercial publisher. I just know I'm not going back to Wiley.
The Art of Deception, Wiley's the publisher.
Yeah, they've been good to me, so I'm happy about it.
I'm glad for that. Go to our site, pcradioshow.org, and find out how to get on. Click onto the link to Kevin's site, and there you will find his signings. Go to his signings, buy his book. But before you buy his book...
No, I can't believe there aren't any calls up here.
Thing is because people don't know the phone number. It's 212-209-2950.
This book lists for $27.50.
I'm sure that Barnes & Noble is discounting it. That leaves you with another $75 to contribute to the station and still have $25 to go buy the book.
I get so many calls from friends. And if I lived here, I would buy these cards for friends. If you're a computer tech and you've got friends who call you all the time, I won't leave you alone, buy them this card. They'll never call you again.
Oh, Aaron.
Very good. Alex, thanks very much. Alex Casper for joining us. Kevin Mitnick,
I wish you
the best of luck on your book. And
it's been great being here, and I hope to be back here.
We're looking forward to seeing you.
I'm waiting for you to be free.
Thank you. It's
212-209-2950. We have a number of premiums available.
Gentlemen, before you run through the list of premiums, I'm going to also give you a good evening.
Alfred, I thank you for joining us for the last hour or so. And
Alfred, take care of that ferry boat.
I'll do my best.
I've seen a picture of the poor yacht, and I want you to know that it's not a poor yacht. It's a very rich yacht.
Well, that's why I call it a ferry boat.
But, you know, that link you gave me really created a lot of problems.
Oh, did it?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
We'll talk about that next week.
We'll talk. And in the meantime, tell all of your friends, Alfred, to please call 209-2950.
That's 212-209-2950.
And we're going...